From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin with a statewide and local news update. State senators are pushing back against Governor Mike Dunleavy's plan to eliminate a fund that's intended to equalize the cost of supplying power to rural Alaska. Senators spoke about it in a Finance Committee meeting this morning. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
State senators reviewing Governor Dunleavy's budget proposal say there's value in keeping the Power Cost Equalization Fund.
This seems very short-sighted.
That's Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha von Imhoff. She's interested in using the billion-dollar fund to develop renewable energy projects in rural Alaska.
I think that we would be cutting our nose to spite our face to remove this fund when the long-term capability of this to help rural Alaska become more energy efficient is, it to me, a better goal.
The Dunleavy administration wants to effectively transfer the power cost equalization money to another state savings account, the Constitutional Budget Reserve. That fund has $1.7 billion and has been drained of more than $10 billion over the past 5 years. But Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman says the PCE fund was designed to provide a lasting source of support to Alaskans who don't benefit from Cook Inlet's natural gas reserves or the hydroelectric dams along the coast.
As an example, those dams are built and they're going to stand for 100 years plus. The gas resources infrastructure is in place and it's going to stand. So trying to level out the energy issues around the state.
The legislature last revisited how to handle the PCE fund 3 years ago. Dunleavy, who was then a state senator, then supported using the fund to close part of the annual deficit. Instead, the legislature passed a law that allows some PCE money to be used to fund community assistance to municipalities across the state. In years when fund earnings are especially high, the law allows PCE money to be used for renewable energy projects. Dunleavy voted for the law. Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman says the benefits from maintaining the fund could be long-lasting.
And by eliminating this, we have no path forward to try to help high-energy communities in the state of Alaska get off of diesel and look toward developing renewable energy as a source.
The administration has yet to introduce a bill to eliminate the PCE fund. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A legislative attorney says language in Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget proposal, giving his budget office discretion to transfer money within departments, raises legal and constitutional questions. Linda Bruce, in a memo, writes that the court is unlikely to find that the language is legally permissible or constitutional. The memo was requested and released by Senator Bill Willikowski, a Democratic member of the Senate Finance Committee. Governor Mike Dunleavy rescinded seven administrative orders last week enacted by his predecessor, Bill Walker. They include an order that halted state spending on six infrastructure projects. Dunleavy spokesman Matt Shukaro says the change doesn't mean Dunleavy is making any of the projects a priority, but it sends a message.
Rescinding these doesn't necessarily mean that money's going to be spent on them, but it does say that the governor's approach is not to just unilaterally shut things off through administrative policy, but it's if the merits of the program or the project speak for itself, if the economics say it can be done at some point, if there is interest, then it's something that he's willing to consider.
The projects include the Ambler Road, which would connect the Dalton Highway with the Ambler Mining District, which has copper and other minerals, the Juneau Access Project, which would extend the road north from Juneau, shortening ferry trips, and the Kinnick Arm Bridge. Building trade unions would like to see Dunleavy support the projects, and International Union of Operating Engineers District Representative Corey Baxter says rescinding Walker's order is a good first step.
It's going to bring back those big projects and hopefully get them developed. Yeah, the operating engineers are excited for it. I know that.
But it will be a long way from Dunleavy's action to the projects being restarted. Lois Epstein of the Wilderness Society says the economics of the projects don't add up.
The state just does not have the money to move forward with these projects, and that hasn't changed. If anything, our situation has gotten worse recently.
Epstein notes that one project that Dunleavy has expressed an openness to considering, The Kinnick Arm Bridge would be located near the epicenter of the earthquake in November. Cleanup work is underway this week, nearly 2 months after a landslide closed a road near Thorn Bay on Prince of Wales Island. A three-person crew from the organized village of Cassan started today, to clear the road. They're using two dump trucks and a backhoe to remove the slide material and truck it to the Thorn Bay landfill about 3 miles away. The tribal government applied for and received $400,000 in emergency relief money through the Bureau of Indian Affairs to remove the boulders, trees, and other debris blocking the road. Sarah Yaki is the incident commander with the OVK.
We're on day 55, and we're working on it, working as fast as we can and are allowed.
The slide happened around 8:30 p.m. on January 1st on the road that connects Thorn Bay to Cassan. Reports from the city of Thorn Bay are that the slide measures over 1,200 feet long. It goes from 722 feet of elevation down to sea level and is 184 feet at its widest point. Yaki declined to say when the road might be cleared.
I'm not going to give any information on when the road will be open. I apologize, but I can't predict that. And I'm not going to put a date out there and then have people be upset when that date comes and passes and the road potentially could not be open.
Once the slide is cleared, officials expect they'll have to build a barrier above the road to stop additional material from coming down the hillside. The slide occurred on national forest land. An old logging road is being used as a bypass route. High school students from around the state have come to Juneau this month to see for themselves how state government works. We talked to a couple of them on a day that delivered big news. Cameron Makia Kendrick Andrew says from what he's seen, it's usually pretty quiet up at the Capitol.
We like barely see anybody walking around. They're probably in like rooms or something.
But that day was different. Cameron says the halls of the state Capitol building were unusually busy. And out front,
there was people outside the Capitol like holding up signs and they're like, whoa, that's different.
Yeah, did you know what that was about?
Oh yeah, education, I believe.
All that because it was February 13th, the day Governor Dunleavy released his plan for the next state budget. Among its proposals was a more than 40% cut to the University of Alaska system, the reason for the rally on Capitol steps. But mostly, Cameron was focused on other things that week. The 18-year-old high school senior from New Stoyahawk was part of a program that brings students from across Alaska to the Capitol to learn about state government. The group toured state buildings, met lawmakers, and studied real bills. A few students, including Cameron, got an even closer look at the legislative process, spending the week as interns for state senators or representatives. Typical intern stuff, make copies, send emails.
Write down the schedule and go to different meetings that I can attend to, like take notes.
Cameron was placed with his district's representative, Bryce Edgman. Cameron says he mostly worked with staffers, but he and another intern did get to meet the representative. Cameron says they bonded over a shared interest in basketball. That other intern was Cameron's cousin, Jacob Michael Andrew, 16 years old, also from New Stoyahawk. He interned with Representative Tiffany Zolkuski from the Bethel area. Jacob says he thought being an intern would be hard, but it's actually pretty fun. He especially liked working with his short-term colleagues in the representative's office.
They're always having fun. Won't be bored with them.
And those staffers soon had plenty to save them from potential boredom. After 31 days of deadlock, the House organized the very next day. Representative Zolkuski is serving in the House majority, and Cameron's host, Representative Edgman, was again voted Speaker of the House. And a bill pending before the Alaska legislature would allow the state's ski areas to serve alcohol. The Juneau Empire reports that Eagle Crest Ski Area was poised to open a bar until last fall. That's when the state's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board rejected the Juneau Ski Area's application. Ski and snowboard areas are not included in a provision of state law that outlines the recreational places or events where alcohol sales are permitted. Republican Senator Peter Michicki's bill would change that. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom.